We begin first with a mystery that has been puzzling freshwater scientists the world over. Otherwise healthy lakes around the world are turning bright green. Researchers at Nelson's Cawthron Institute are co-leading a global collaboration looking into this puzzling phenomenon. With us to discuss is the Institute's Dr. Simon Stewart, and freshwater ecologist, to tell us more. Kia ora, Simon.
Kia ora, Wallace. Thanks for having me today.
It's a pleasure to have you on. This is really interesting. What is going on here? This is happening, all over the world?
I think what we're talking about is something quite different to the normal algal blooms. Mm. You know, so people, when I say algal blooms, people normally think about like Ellesmere and, you know, that real pea soupy water.
Yes.
But what we're talking about here is thick green mats that are growing on the lake bed. So, like, if you're trying to picture it like a sheepskin rug, but I'm talking, you know, like vibrant, bright greens, like thick, hairy mats that are growing across the bottom of the lake. And the big difference here is that we're not really picking it up in monitoring data. So these are happening in lakes that are, you know, if we go out and we measure the water and we compare it to sort of national guidelines, all these lakes would have A-band quality water, so really high quality water lakes. But we're getting these algal blooms that are happening across the bottom.
Yeah, yeah. And yet you've got this green carpet rug on the bottom. And these are A-grade lakes, aren't they? Internationally, you've got the likes of, say, Lake Tahoe in the US has been really affected, apparently. You've got Lake Wakatipu in Queenstown at the bottom, even really deep lakes internationally like Lake Baikal.
Exactly. In fact, unfortunately, Lake Baikal is probably the poster child of this issue. And you know, it's a real problem. Lake Baikal, it's a UNESCO site. It's the most biodiverse lake in the world. And, you know, these incredibly, you know, species-rich habitats are getting cloaked by this thick green mats, which are growing across the bottom of the lake. And, you know, the thing that we're struggling with as scientists is, you know, as we're all coming together as a group and people have been studying these processes in their own individual lakes and, you know, really good quality, amazing scientists going into this. But in each lake, it's been put back to different drivers. So, for example, in Lake Baikal, it's really clearly linked to sewage contaminated groundwater going into the lake.
Goodness.
Whereas, if we're looking at the Great Lakes area, Lake Michigan, for example, in the US, it's really clearly linked to invasive mussels coming into the lake and changing the lake that way. Whereas then, if we look at Japan, they've clearly linked it to pesticides, and where pesticides are leaching into the lake from nearby cropland and killing off the insects that are living in the lake, which they can't graze these algae. So it feels a bit like maybe you've seen a Larson cartoon where there's a whole bunch of blindfolded, pointy-headed scientists, and they're all trying to feel this elephant, and they're all coming up with quite different conclusions because, you know, they're sort of looking at their one aspect of it. But so it feels like there's a bigger picture here, and that's why it's been that we're not quite... getting an understanding of
that. Yeah, and I've seen that cartoon too. Okay, so what about, let's take an example, what about Lake Wakatipu in Queenstown?
We haven't studied that example specifically, but yeah. You know, what we're seeing is they're seeing these mats that are growing on in the Franklin Arm. So, you know, it's a shallower area of the lake, and these were noted, I think, in 2018, and that was the first time they've ever been seen, and that was people who have been looking at the lake for a long time and had never seen these mats growing in the lake before, and I think that really points to something that. We're not, like, typically we don't monitor the near shore zone in lakes. Often we go and monitor offshore, like, in the middle of the lake, and average as much as possible. Whereas, these impacts are happening, in the close to the lake shoreline. And so, that's one of the reasons why they're taking us by surprise.
So compared to Lake Ellesmere, which you the algal blooms you said, which actually, I mean, the fresh water has really degraded, these are still grade A lakes in terms of water quality. So how does that work?
Absolutely. So, what we're feeling is that this might be an early warning indicator. So it's just showing some of those very early signs of, nutrient stress coming onto lakes. And or it might be, early signs that there might be, a variety of stresses as we've seen. But, we're really lucky with we're studying lakes. We've got this rich history going back, 50, 70 years of studying lakes, but it's all based out in the middle of the lake. So, a lot of these concepts and these models that we work on, they don't really consider like the kind of somewhat different processes that are happening in the near shore zone.
Dr. Stewart, is this toxic algae? I mean, is this type of algae toxic?
No, we're not talking about toxic algal mats. Mm. So these are green algae. And, normally in a lake, they're really nutritious and bugs would love to gobble them up. And, when an ecosystem is in balance, that's normally what they would be. These algae naturally in lakes, they do naturally go quite fast, but, there's invertebrates that keep them, crop them at a really low biomass. So, something is coming out of balance in the system, whether it's, so much nutrients going in that the growth is, they've become too big, they've grown so fast that the bugs can no longer graze them, or maybe that, the bugs are disappearing and there's nothing left to graze these algae.
Mm. So the fact that these blooms are occurring in these essentially pristine lakes, as you said, an indicator that ecosystems and these freshwater ecosystems are changing. I mean, how much of a concern is this for you and other scientists looking at this?
It is concerning, and it's only been in the last 15 years or so we've really started to understand just how important these near shore habitats are to the entire lake. This is where most of the biodiversity is within the lakes, and comparatively speaking, the offshore zone where we actually do the monitoring, that's a bit of a desert really. That all our taonga species, for example, in the New Zealand lakes, they all basically live in this near shore zone. So we're having these significant impacts there, and we really do want to have a much better understanding of what the causes are. Yeah. And then what the consequences are too.
Absolutely. The answer is not to do nothing. I'm just thinking if these vibrant bright green carpet rugs exist on the bottom of these grade A lakes like Bacal or the Great Lakes or lakes in Aotearoa, and they just stay there, and yet the water quality is not necessarily affected. It might be that it might not matter, but you say, no, we've got to get to the bottom of it.
Yes. No, we definitely do. Mm. It's the engine room of the ecosystem, really, these shallow areas, the lake bed of the lake. And, if we're having problems there, then that's going to propagate, completely through the up the food chain, and it will impact our fisheries and the rest of the ecosystem.
And I guess this is one example, Dr. Stewart, of why global research partnership is really important, and it sort of undermines the centrality of sharing knowledge.
Absolutely. This all came about at an international research conference in 2018, where we came together, and there was three people independently sharing these their kind of early research findings, showing these changes in their lakes from around the world. So looking at Tahoe, Baikal, and we're talking about work in the Ashburton Lakes in central Canterbury, and everyone had these slightly different ideas, thinking they were having a problem in their lake, and then once we actually came together as a group, we saw these quite different ideas about what might be driving it in these specific systems, but also just being able to see how global and relatively recent these issues are.
Just finally, Simon, I know that you would like to mark the passing of someone pretty special in New Zealand's scientific community.
Thanks, Wolf. So earlier this week, Dr. Vivian Kitty Cooper, she was a real leader in freshwater algae, and she passed away earlier this week, unfortunately. New Zealand is really lucky to have a proud history of extremely strong women leaders in freshwater science, and Vivian was definitely one of those. And reading through her biography this morning, it was just so evident that her kindness and her really wide ranging influence on people, and she did that all facing a lot of struggles as a female scientist.
I understand, reading a biography, that she achieved quite remarkable feats while facing, as some have mentioned, the full brunt of barriers and challenges that women in science had to deal with.
Yeah. No, she got the full brunt of that, as you say. So, she still was an incredible scientist and leaves behind an amazing legacy. So. Yeah.
So anyone who's done work on a New Zealand lake will no doubt know the cetacean, Cassie Cooper.
Yes, absolutely. Mm. Yeah. Anyone who's, you just have to think about an algae or look at an algae and, you will have come across one of her papers, no doubt.
Gosh, yeah. Hey, nice to have you on the program, Dr. Stewart. Kia ora. That is Dr. Simon Stewart from the Nelson Cawthron Institute, looking at a phenomenon that has been puzzling freshwater scientists, otherwise extremely healthy lakes around the globe, are turning bright green on the bottom. Let's hope they get to the bottom of it.